Haskell, brother and sister, S.N. Hamilton, New South Wales, Australia, April 26, 1900, Thursday. Dear brother and sister Haskell, today Sarah, Maggie, and I drove up from Currumbong with our faithful horses, Jasper and Jesse. We came to attend a general meeting for the Newcastle, Maitland, and Currumbong churches. This meeting is to be held in the Hamilton Church over Sabbath and Sunday. Quite a number are coming from Currumbong and Maitland. I am staying at the Baths with brother and sister Lewis Currow. Our medical work in Newcastle gives every promise of success. Some weeks ago, we rented the building in Hamilton known as the Turkish Baths. This building is provided with facilities for giving Turkish baths and hot and cold water baths. It is surrounded by open grounds and is only a few minutes' walk from our church in Hamilton. As soon as we saw the advantages of this place, we decided that the best thing we could do was to secure it. We feel very thankful to the Lord for this opening in Newcastle. Work at the baths was begun about 2 weeks ago, and thus far success has attended it. Several prominent men are taking treatment, and yesterday, three Catholic priests came in for a bath. Brother Currow, who is in charge of the bath work, is an excellent nurse. His wife, who used to be Miss Lizzie Hubbard, and he are both doing good work. In the building, there are four rooms upstairs and four downstairs. Two are unfurnished. When we have sufficient means, they will be furnished ready for patients. If properly conducted, this institution will be the means of doing much good, both in relieving physical suffering and in making known the truth. Idolatry prevails in our cities. Everything that Satan can do, he is doing to keep his dark shadow between sinners and God. He desires to keep the minds of men fixed upon the things of earth. By means of the medical work, a class of people may be reached who would otherwise never hear present truth. Souls ready to perish may be saved. Friday, April 27th. We thank the Lord for pleasant weather. Quite a number have come from Currumbong to attend the meeting. Most of these will be accommodated at the baths. April 28th, Sabbath. The Lord gave me strength to speak to the people this afternoon. I felt indeed that physical and spiritual strength was given me. I spoke from John 16, verse 1 to 6. Christ's words are plain and definite. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Before this, some of the disciples had been offended because Christ had said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6, verse 35-51. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Verses 52, 53, 56, 57. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verses 60-63. In Christ God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This we are to believe. These words are not merely to be read as a lesson, they are to be understood, believed, and lived. They will bring us spiritual life. Christ's teachings are to be brought into the daily experience. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Spiritual life comes to us as we receive and practice His words. The disciples of Christ are to bring the perfections of His character into their character. He has given us His word as spiritual food. As we eat this word, we shall grow up into Him, manifesting unselfishness, integrity, kindness, and love. In all we do, Christ-likeness is to be revealed. Thus we may show that we are eating the bread of heaven and drawing the living water from the wells of salvation. As our physical life is sustained by natural food, so our spiritual life is to be sustained by spiritual food, the words of Christ. The gospel, believed and lived, means eternal life. It gives spiritual health and vigor. It enables us to bear in the daily life the fruits of the Spirit. Sunday, April 29th. The meetings close tonight. They have been well attended, and we feel very much encouraged. We believe that it was in the order of God for them to be held at this time. The work in Maitland is still going forward. Some very precious souls have taken their stand for the truth. Others are convinced, and we hope that they will soon demonstrate their faith. We are praying earnestly that the Lord will give them courage to do this. Mr. Scobie, one of those who are convinced, works for his brother, who is an infidel. Although fully convinced of the truth, he is slow to take his stand before the world as a Seventh-day Adventist. His wife and two daughters have been baptized. Mr. Scobie is the only one of a large family of brothers who used tobacco. On one occasion, his father and brothers offered him £50 if he would give up tobacco. But he did not accept the offer. When he heard at the meetings in the tent the truth in regard to the evil effect of tobacco upon the system, he stopped using it. A young man and his wife have lately taken their stand with us. He was employed in a bakery, but lost his position when he began keeping the Sabbath. He has been entrusted with the sale of the health foods. We hope that he will be able to do good work in this line. He and his wife are both young and strong, and they will be able, we hope, to manage the health food business in Maitland successfully. Another young man and his wife, Baker by name, have commenced keeping the Sabbath. He is employed as a salesman in a boot and shoe shop. He says that if he loses his position, he will go into the business for himself. 22 persons have been baptized in Maitland, and soon several more will be baptized. Those who have taken their stand for the truth seem to be fully and thoroughly converted. We pray for more Sabbath keepers in Maitland. The tent has been taken down, and Brother Colcord is holding meetings in a small hall connected with the house in which the mission family live. Brother and Sister James from Ballarat have charge of the mission home. They both labor as they can to instruct the people. Sisters Wilson and Robertson have been and are doing a good work in Maitland. The Lord sustains them, and they have many friends. In the past, they have had to walk 3 and 4 miles to give their readings, but now they have a horse and buggy. Brother and Sister Hickox are working in East Maitland. Brother and Sister Colcord are working in West Maitland. Sister Colcord, having a family, does not work much among the people. But it is altogether better to have married people in the work. Workers who are married can work to much greater advantage in the families they visit than can those who are unmarried. Brother and Sister James are going to take into the mission home an old lady who embraced the truth at the camp meeting. She was, I believe, the first one to keep the Sabbath. She is an invalid and will be one as long as she lives, but she is always cheerful and will not accept charity. She supports herself by her own handiwork. She will be a blessing in the mission home. A church must be built in Maitland as soon as the money for it can be raised. When all those who are now convinced decide for the truth, an effort will be made to raise some money for the church. The ministers in Maitland are still very bitter and keep up the most determined opposition. But if our workers will walk humbly before God, He will make them vessels unto honor. All who have embraced the truth in Maitland have had to take their stand in the face of decided enmity. Canwright's falsehoods have been circulated and have been met by his own statements. Our laborers in Maitland are doing good work. All are working in concert, watching for souls as they that must give an account. Union is strength, and in the work of God, unity must be preserved. Strength is not to be wasted in desultory, meaningless efforts, but is to be consecrated to a high and holy purpose. There is much work to be done in and around Newcastle and Maitland, and we feel that the next camp meeting in New South Wales should be held between Maitland and Newcastle or in East Maitland. I see no way to carry forward the work except by holding camp meetings. It is of little use to attempt to hold tent meetings without first awakening a general interest. It may be well, where the opposition has been very bitter, to hold two camp meetings in one place. Let the ministers exhaust their opposition, and then let the truths which they have misstated and misinterpreted be presented again in the Spirit and power of God.
The field round Maitland and Newcastle is so large that we could use 20 workers, all acting in concert under one supreme leader. The Lord will work with every sincere, devoted soldier of the cross. But no man can be a good soldier who thinks he must work independently of his fellow workers, who regards his own judgment as the best. God's workers must blend together, one supplying what the other lacks. God has given to His church a diversity of gifts. Paul writes, "He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Ephesians 4, verse 11, 12. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly framed together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verses 1-3, 14-16. This instruction is given for our help. Those who will obey will find that the Lord knows what is best for them. The people of God are to work as a perfect whole. We have not money to pay more workers, but the Lord can work by few as well as by many. He can do a great work through two or three who labor, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Ephesians 6, verse 6, 7. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 10. Do not trust in your own strength. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 11. Do we make the preparation it is our privilege to make to stand against the wiles of the enemy? Do we realize the sacred character of God's work and the necessity of watching for souls as they that must give an account? We must be vigilant, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13, verse 11, 12. Are we learning to forego our own wishes? Or is self still consulted so much that in labor with our brethren we regard our judgment as best of all? God forbid that we should allow self-supremacy to withhold from us the blessings God gives to the meek and lowly. Those who truly glorify God will hide self in Christ, rejoicing if God can be glorified by the labors of those connected with them. No one can succeed in the work of God who has too high an appreciation of himself. As time goes on, his feeling of supremacy grows, and soon he comes to think that he would rather not unite with his brethren in labor, but would prefer to work alone. Such a man is not prepared to do efficient service as a good soldier of the cross. He has developed such sensitiveness that he does not wish to be criticized, feeling that it is for his best good to be left alone. He takes offense if his brethren do not work in harmony with his ideas and plans. What can God do with such material? Let us put far from us every feeling of self-exaltation. Let us prepare to be good soldiers of the cross by learning the lesson Christ gave when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 29. He who has crushed down all desire for self-recognition will most surely be recognized by the unselfishness of his actions. In order to help and encourage others, he is willing to put aside his own wishes, becoming all things to all men that he may by some means save some. Such a man is a noble leader in Christ's army. Look at the Savior's patient endurance in suffering and trial. Yoke up with him in unselfish service. We are engaged in a severe and trying warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, verse 12, 13. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59, verse 14, 15, 18, 19. Let us walk carefully and prayerfully before the Lord, not serving self, but serving the Prince of Heaven. Read and obey the instruction contained in the second chapter of Philippians. As you do this, you will certainly see the salvation of God. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verses 3, 5-7, 12-15.